Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Elizabeth is the CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, a leading multimedia provider of lifestyle content. The Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. It's where you'll find inspirational and encouraging stories, advice, and information with our radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Real people, real advice, real places, real products and businesses, real life stories, and more, including real celebrity life. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You. Now, here's your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This show is really geared toward all of you who want to write a book. If you're listening and you have always wanted to start a book, finish a book, get that book out of you, somehow get published, this show and this next hour is definitely for you. And we have a very special guest with us for the hour. Her name is Lisa Tenner. Welcome, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we're really excited to have you here, too. And before we get started, for those listening along on the computer, I just wanted to direct you to Lisa's website. It's lisatenner.com, and you spell Tenner, T-E-N-E-R. Lisa is a published author. She's a blogger also. I've seen some of your blogs on the Internet, and you're a speaker. But you're more than all of that. What you are is just passionate about helping people get their message out and help people get a book out of their brain and onto paper and into the stores and get published. And, you know, it's not just some joke to you either. I mean, you've been everywhere on national TV. You serve on the faculty of the Harvard, medical school? The Harvard Medical School? Continuing
ed course.
Right? Wow. On writing and publishing books, you've been on ABC World News, Nightbeat, PBS, Glamour, you've been quoted in Glamour, USA Weekend. I mean, it's just a big deal to have you here today. So thank you for taking the hour out of your life and spending it with us, because I think a lot of good's going to come out of this call. I think a lot of people are going to have some books happen.
Well, that's certainly my hope. I love what I do, and it's really rewarding to see people take those steps they need to take to make this dream a real reality.
You know, I think my first question to you is along the lines of how you got started doing this, because there aren't too many people out there who promote themselves as a book writing coach. What made you start to do this instead of just sitting there on your own and keeping it all to yourself and, you know, publishing 50 books on your own and being the best writer ever? Why do you feel the need to help other people?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and I think there are a few reasons. You know, one is I come from a family of teachers, and so a lot of people in my family, my father, my sister, are teachers, my brother and sister-in-law work in schools. So it's sort of a background of mine, I think, is teaching, and it's in my genes. But another piece is that I wrote a book, and it did well. We got tons of national publicity, and our sales have been very strong. And it's called The Ultimate Guide to Transforming Anger. But once the book got published, I realized, you know, I had this really interesting idea, and it kind of took off, but it wasn't really my passion. Sort of as I taught workshops on sort of transforming your anger, I realized, oh, I really don't want to work with people about their anger, and I don't want to work with people who are angry and come into workshops with their arms crossed over their chest. And I started sharing these 5 steps that I developed when I was working on my book with my co-authors, and sort of 5 steps for writing in the flow, really being inspired and getting your best writing out there. And what happened was, as I did that, and at first I even thought, you know, maybe I'd call myself a creativity coach, but, you know, more and more people were coming to me because they wanted to write a book, and a big piece of that, if you want a traditional publisher, is also writing a book proposal. So as I helped people along those lines and they were successful and were getting wonderful book deals, it just sort of naturally happened. So I'd say I sort of accidentally happened into it more than anything else. But at the same time, I know it's what I was meant to do. And I just absolutely love it. And, you know, if you saw what I did early on in my career, it was sort of computer work. I went to MIT. It's sort of very different from what I do now. But I think it shows that you can really, you can recreate who you are by becoming an author and even then recreate yourself again. So that's one of the things a book does, is really helps you go from maybe being a computer geek to being, you know, and I'm talking about myself there, not necessarily any listeners. they're probably not geeks, even if they work with computers. But but doing something really, really different and maybe really your heart's desire.
Yeah. Now, I imagine, I've got this vision of you. Okay, you're out in the front yard, you're doing yard work, and 10 people walk up and want to, like, tackle you and hand their scripts to you, hand their manuscripts to you, and everything. How does this really work? How do people really work with you so that it's not like, you know, people, I could hear this, I know Lisa, and she's going to get me published, you know, kind of thing. How do you really go about working with a book writing coach, and what are your odds of doing well?
Well, you know, really the odds come back to really getting clear what your goals are, because doing well for you and me might be different from doing well to somebody else who's listening. Some people really want, you know, bestseller or want a lot of national publicity, and I have clients who've really made an impact on the national scene. You know, for other people, it may be more that they want a book that's going to bring in those ideal clients for their coaching business or their consulting business. One of my clients right now is an executive recruiter, and he works at the C-level. So he's recruiting CFOs and even CEOs and, you know, people at that level, but he doesn't have a book. And so to differentiate himself and continue to get the top clients, you know, a book has almost become a necessity, right, to be seen as one of the top experts in your field. So so for him, actually, he was going to self-publish, and now he's decided he wants to look for a publisher, so he's working on his book proposal. But for him, he could have self-published because, you know, he's really using that book in his business. He doesn't have to sell, you know, 100,000 copies or even 30,000 copies. He can just... he could sell, you know, 100 copies or even give away 100 copies to the most targeted people and do really, really well with that in terms of meeting his goals and his vision, not just in getting the ideal clients and attracting those ideal clients, but also training them so that they can really use his help effectively. And, you know, once he helps them hire the right person, they're really doing the things to retain them too. So...
I like that, what you just said, because, you know, it's all in your goal. For example, if you're, you know, I've met people who are like, let's say, 60 years old, and they get to be 60 years old, and they say, you know, I still haven't written that book, and I really wanted to write this children's book before I get, you know, so old that I can't, and I think maybe I'll just self-publish it. But still, people might want your expertise to put that book together and make it flow right and make it do the things it needs to do. So that's, you know, maybe one course, but, you know, and again, some people need it as more of like a credential thing. Some people want to be national bestsellers. I see what you're saying. So I like that, where it just sort of depends on what your goal is. And I learned that from you, from talking to you. It's like, well, what do you want to do, darn it? What do you hope to achieve with this? What's your mission? And once you get that clear, it gets its little legs. One of the things I wanted to mention, too, before we go is you have a free author toolkit, which includes a 7-day e-course on book writing and biweekly writing and publishing tips and news. And I wanted to make sure I said all of that perfectly. What is that, and where can people find that?
So that really, the e-course is going to help people to start to ask the right questions, so that they're writing the book that's going to help meet those goals, right? And also it helps you with just some of those coachy things like making the time for your book and helping you figure out how are you going to do that, how are you going to be successful. So it gives you that first start to starting your book. And even if you've already started it, I think it can be really helpful. I've had people say, oh, wow, I've really rethought things since I got the author toolkit.
Yeah, I really loved it. Myself, I mean, I'm just saying, as a you know, because a lot of people want to really know firsthand has somebody actually used this, and is it good? And I can just tell everybody listening, fabulous.
Oh,
so
great.
Very, very worth it. And do you get that from your website?
Yes, at lisatenner.com. It's LISATEN as in Nancy, ER.com.
Okay. And then let's say I want to work with you more, though. That's my nibble, and now I really want to work with you more. Is it going to cost me everything in my bank to work with you?
I hope not. No, you know, and I do really have different levels.
I don't know what's in my bank, though.
So somebody who wants to, you know, work one-on-one with me can either just do straight one-on-one coaching, or I do have these book writing classes that take you through all those decisions up front of what your book's going to be, and that might take, you know, a few weeks, it might take a month, and then 8 weeks of writing your book. So you should have a first draft in 8 weeks. Now, some people decide to, you know, sort of do one lesson every other week or something, so they have 16 weeks, but it's designed so you can have a first draft in 8 weeks, and a lot of my clients do. So people, some people do that as a self-study course if they have less of a budget for it. Some do it as part of my, I do courses in person in Narragansett, Rhode Island. People come from all over New England for that. And I also offer that as a teleseminar online. I use really interesting technology that lets the allows the classes to be very, very interactive, and people can actually do some work in teams or with a partner on the call, which is pretty cool. And then they also get some private work with me with that and feedback on the book. So that's a way a lot of people enter into working with me is the classes, which are, you know, I think you get such a rich experience in a class. And then in addition, that private work that comes with it, and sometimes even additional editing or help with a book proposal. So the book proposal work does tend to be very one-on-one in helping people write a really fabulous proposal. Mm-hmm. So those are some different ways. But for somebody just starting off, I have something called Quick Start to Kickstart Your Book. And, you know, that's probably a less expensive, you know, sort of course, but that really gets you clear on all the things you need to know and do before you start writing the book. And I know you have that.
Yeah, that's the one that's about $100, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one?
Exactly.
And I like that price point because, you know, that's a good investment in yourself. If you're really serious about writing a book, I would also, you know, I'd recommend, you know, really looking at Lisa's website because it's hard to explain how it's magical in a way because you just all of a sudden get organized. It's very interesting,
uh-huh.
And I think you know that. But you know, when you sit down to write a book, and I've written two. Let's see, how many books have I written, Lisa? I've written two books. And then one on the way, and it's confusing when you've got all these ideas and they're flowing, and you need to organize them so they aren't this big mess of notes and things like that. And those two things right off the bat are pure genius. The free e-course and then the $99 course are just really helpful. So, but I don't know, I like them a lot, and it got me kind of chugging down the right path a little bit better than I was. So,
yes. You know, sometimes people come to me and they've written a book and it's sort of all over the place and they say, here, help me fix this and turn it into a book. And I feel badly because it's going to cost them so much more time and resources and they often have to throw out a lot of it because it just doesn't fit. Whereas if you start from the beginning the way Quick Start suggests, and there are a few different ways that it helps you structure your book, and you can choose among them. But that structure is going to make sure that you're really clear about what goes into the book, and you're going to have to do a lot less work, and it's going to be a lot quicker because you spent the time to do that structure ahead of time. So it's a really powerful tool and will make a big difference in the long run.
Yeah. But I know one reason why people don't finish what they start when it comes to books, and that is the fear or the knowing of rejection.
Uh-huh.
And let's talk. I like to sometimes use me as a personal example because sometimes people can kind of relate to the example because I'm just a normal, ordinary person who loves to write. And, you know, let's talk about what you said to me. Start over. You know, you were nice about it and everything. But, you know, if you're not used to some, you know, you got to almost toughen up when you're writing a book. It's hard to explain. Can you explain that better than I can?
Yeah.
And how start over doesn't mean, you know, you shouldn't ever do this and you're the worst writer in the world or anything like that. It just means let's start again and let's do this right or whatever.
Yeah.
Go for it.
And I try to be really clear about, you know, finding what is really good about something too. So I think, you know, sometimes if somebody just says start over, that's just demoralizing, and I don't think
it's that useful. You didn't say it like that.
I just you know, want people to understand that it really is about, like, let's find what the gems are here. Let's find what's really fresh about this. Let's find what people are going to get excited about, and let's really connect back to your audience and what they want, what they need, where they're at right now. So it's very exciting, I think, when we go back to that square one. And sometimes we don't have to get rid of a lot. But still going, you know, starting at that square one really gives us that sense of what's going to make this book pop for people and what's going to make it a really successful book. And then you know, we did figure out, you know, a way to sort of maybe reorganize things but keep a lot of what's there. But, of course, if you have the advantage of just getting started, you can start on that right foot.
Yes,
right,
I mean,
beginning.
I love that, and of course, you know. But I, you know, overall rejection, though, when you're doing it can really mean stacks of letters where people say no, thank you, we're not interested. Wrong form, wrong, resubmit, do something else, have another career, whatever. I mean, I've got stacks of them here, of people saying no. What do you do when you get a lot of rejection?
So, you know, one thing is to really stay clear on your vision, you know, because I don't think people get that inspiration to write a book generally unless they're able to do it. And they might not be able to do it alone. They might need some guidance. They might need some editing. But they've got it in them, and they've got something, a message that needs to get out. People who really need to hear it from them. Maybe it's your voice. Maybe it's your stories, your anecdotes that you're going to share that are so powerful. Maybe it's some exercises, you know, or it may just be some really small thing that makes a huge difference for your readers. So you have to trust that there's a reason you have this desire. And then it's a matter of also really listening to the feedback you get. So my book, now when we wrote our book, The Ultimate Guide to Transforming Anger, you were still only supposed to submit to one agent at a time, and you might not hear back for 6 months, but the understanding was that you would not do multiple submissions to different agents. Now that has totally changed, and you could submit to as many agents as you want, although I would suggest just doing a few at a time. But we did get very powerful feedback that helped us to eventually write the proposal that got us the publisher. So you really do want to get the feedback you can, and, you know, you need to evaluate it. So I had one client who was writing a book, and she had this vision of it as a psychology book, a groundbreaking psychology book, and her agent said, and so we wrote the book proposal together. She got a great agent. And the agent said, well, you know, this is a great book, but if you made it more of a how-to, you would get a bigger advance and probably sell more copies. And she said, that is not my vision. You know, maybe that could be the second book, but I want to write a groundbreaking psychology book. And she and I had already talked about that, so I knew that about her. And this was a great agent because the agent said, okay, we'll work with that. It'll be a lower advance, and she was willing to take that lower advance but stick to that person's vision.
Go ahead.
So if you're getting advice, also ask yourself, is it, you know, yes, okay, that might be a more successful book, and is it the book I want to write? So be true to yourself, and at the same time, you know, look at what's going to work in the marketplace, and, you know, you can find, I think, a marriage of those two things, and sometimes it's easier than others, but they're both important pieces of information, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
You said a magic word, and that's agent. And we live in a day and age where bookstores are closing. You know, electronic is becoming more and more popular, and all of this these types of things, especially self-publishing seems to, you know, getting its legs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are there such things as agents anymore? Is that how you get a book
there
published
are.
These days? For real?
Yeah, there are. And I always look at, go back to a person's goals to help them decide self-published or traditionally published, because there really are pros and cons of each. But there are agents, and I still really value them. In fact, I'm co-authoring a book with a colleague of mine on developing your platform as an author, developing your following. And we decided, yes, we want a traditional publisher and we want an agent, and we only submitted to one agent. She was my top choice. She's gotten other clients of mine, six-figure book deals. She's fabulous, and I knew this was the agent I wanted. So we definitely decided we want a traditional publisher. We want to go that route, and there are definitely great agents out there to do that. Now, you don't have to go that route. There are lots of reasons to go a self-publishing route. You'll have the book faster. You'll have control. You'll get more per book. But there are some pieces that a traditional publisher still brings to the table, and that is really that there's a cachet. And if you want to be a national bestseller, it is easier to do. Now, I'm not talking about Amazon bestseller, but my colleague Rusty Shelton, who I'm writing a book with, you know, has helped a lot of books become, like over 20 books, become New York Times bestsellers, Wall Street mm-hmm. Journal bestsellers, USA Today bestsellers. If you want to be on those lists, it's a lot easier if you're published by a traditional publisher, because the book's been vetted. And so partly they've had their input to make it a better book, to make it a successful book. They have a lot of expertise. But also, you know, the media sees that book and knows right away, okay, the Random House. You know, they know that there's some process it's gone through. So it puts it at the top of the pile, I guess, you know, for the media. Mm-hmm. So it's helpful but not required. And so, you know, again, it comes back to what are your goals.
Yeah, and I think, do you think it's wrong to self-publish, and I know a lot of people do this, including, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. Do you think a lot of people self-publish with the hope that someone will notice them and pick them up? I mean, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Is that a wrong thing to do? Because I know, for example, we just self-published Pinky Doodlebug, and we were like, okay, well, you know, we're going to self-publish this with the hopes that somebody picks it up along the way and mm-hmm. takes it national. Is that a ridiculous thought?
It's not ridiculous, but you do want to have your, you know, open eyes when you do that. So when you go that path, and now I'm talking, I don't know in children's fiction, you know, in a picture book, what the numbers are. By the way, I love Pinky Doodlebug. And, it's a great
that
Christmas
means
present
a lot.
If anybody's looking for the 3, 4, 5-year-old on their list, or the inner child for anyone. Mm-hmm. But so I don't know the numbers in that field, but in general, let's say we're talking about how-to books, memoirs. If you've sold 15,000 copies of your book, then publishers and agents start to take note. So okay. You're going to need to sell a lot of copies. And sometimes people say, well, why? They're supposed to market it. And that's not really true and hasn't been true for a long, long, long time. Really, when your book gets published, the publisher's providing distribution, which, of course, is in a very changing, flux kind of world. And a little bit of publicity sometimes, but really the majority of the marketing, publicity, and promotion of your book falls on you, the author. And so,
doesn't it?
So, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So whether you self-publish or traditionally publish, that's a piece you're going to need to do. And sometimes people feel daunted by that. But what I can tell you is I've had so many clients who, you know, wrote the book, were all excited, and then realized, you know, wow, now I have to do this marketing, and that's not me, and really fell in love with that part, because you're meeting people, you're getting the word out, you're connecting with other authors, and so it's like this whole new world that is very stimulating and expansive, and a lot of people really fall in love with it once it comes down to doing it, the public speaking or teaching workshops or doing more social media to get out there, teleseminars. It really is fun, and it also is profitable. It's a way that you can not just depend on book sales to bring in income, but if you're teaching a teleseminar and people are, you know, paying to be in an 8-week teleseminar, let's just say, to write your book, that's a valuable thing you're offering people, and so they will pay for that, and so it becomes a business model too. So it's exciting.
Now, let's say for right now, I say, okay, I want to publish a book with you, Lisa. I want to really learn how to do this and everything. From right now to the point that which perhaps a publisher or an agent and so forth might pick me up to the point of which that book is on the shelf, how many years is that?
Okay, so we're talking traditional publishing now. Whoa, we just had a – are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. We just had like a short power outage thing.
Oh, that happens.
But,
if that happens to you, do me a favor. I will hold the line, and I will not make fun of you while you're gone. Just call back in.
Can you give me the number just in case my computer –
yes,
oh,
sir.
You know what? I have it, actually. I've got it in front of me. Okay, I can always call my cell phone if things go. Sorry.
Yeah, something happened.
It scared
me
because it's happened twice now that lights blinked.
Yeah, we're having a storm too, so it's okay. It's live radio. We're all good.
okay,
though. Start to finish, how many years might that be if I start right now and want to go for writing a book? Let's say I have the intention of being a New York Times bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that adds another dimension to it. So the steps that you're going to need to take, this is really nerve-wracking.
Don't worry, you're fine. You're coming through on the radio.
On and off.
And
my,
yeah.
Everything's, my whole house keeps blinking. So you're, it's like eerie. So the steps you're going to need to take is, first of all, you're going to need to write that book proposal. And that can take a few months. You know, it's a complex process, really thinking through the book, what's going to make the book successful, and it's worth it. You know, I have clients who will get a six-figure book deal because they really took that time, and we looked at their initial idea, and, you know, I went over with them, you know, what the flaws were, and then we brainstormed about, okay, how do we make this really marketable? So it's valuable, valuable time that you put into that book proposal. But let's say that's going to take 2 or 3 months. Now, you also need to develop your platform as an author. And that's, you know, that following that you have. So you've already got that, Elizabeth. Obviously, you've got, you know, these millions of people on Blog Talk Radio who listen to your show. But somebody who's just starting fresh, and a lot of my clients are starting without any platform. They might not even have a website. So for folks like that, I'll often say, okay, start with a blog and let's get some really great blog posts, and then let's have you pitch to a much bigger, you know, a blog with a much bigger audience. And that's the way that a lot of my clients have come in with almost no platform or no platform, maybe not even a website, and now they're bloggers for Psychology Today. Dr. Craig Malkin, for instance, his posts are excellent. They're all about relationships and dating, and they have a research base to them too, and he's a wonderful writer. And so his are often the top picks for Psychology Today.
Nice.
And so now, you know, he's got all these people reading his posts because of that, and suddenly he's got this platform. Dr. Vicki Dunkley is another good example. She posts for Psychology Today, and she had no platform when we first met. For other people, it means, you know, and then there's, you know, you don't have to post for Psychology Today. It could be Calorie Count. One of my clients does that, writes for that. A few write for the Huffington Post or WebMD. So, you know, really think about where are your audience members, the people who are going to read your book and buy your book, where are they going to be found? And how can you reach a large number of them? And that's going to be a great, quick way to build your platform, and you can do that in a few months. So you could do that while you're writing the book proposal. Now it depends again how competitive your category is. So for instance, a client who's writing about, you know, a specific health issue, let's say, you know, it might not be that competitive. They can have a decent sized following, maybe writing for Psychology Today, maybe that's enough. Craig is writing in the field of dating and relationships. So most of the people who write in that field, like, have a TV show of their own, or, you know, a national TV show. Like, they're really, really well known. So he's competing in a very competitive category. And so he's also had to hire a publicist and do some TV and radio. And so he's had to do a little bit more with his platform. He got his agent, but then his agent said, okay, before we shop this, you're going to need to do these other steps. So, you know, that can take a few months to build that piece up. You know, and I just want to be clear, he's an example of a very competitive category. So most people listening to this are probably not going to be as competitive a category as that. And, you know, you might be writing for a very niche audience. That's actually a good thing because that can make it much easier to reach your audience. You know exactly mm-hmm. where to reach them. Maybe it's on calorie count because they are, you know, looking for ways to lose weight. So that actually is a real benefit. So now we're saying, a few months to write the proposal, and anywhere from, let's say, 2 to 2 months could even be up to a year to develop that platform, depending on the category and the type of book and where you're starting from.
So you're already at like a year and a few months.
Yeah,
so it could be
a
while.
It could be. And then, you know, you probably, once you start developing the platform, you could maybe contact some agents and see if they're interested in. Sometimes when they know that you've got some platform and you're working on more, it's enough for them to take you on. Other times, mm-hmm. they really want to see a bigger platform, and then, you know, you have to wait. So
Does that mean the book?
The platform is your following, so it's how many people reaching through your radio show or TV show or your newsletter or your website or blog or anything else, you know, that you publish online or any other ways that you get in front of people, public speaking. Yeah. Or traditional PR, too.
Yeah, but from the moment, so let's say you've got the book written then, and they say, okay, we're going to go ahead and publish this. How long does it take for the book to actually come out and hit the market?
So that's a great question, too. And, you know, we see a wide range. So for a book that is really current, like one of my colleagues came out with a book, and, it's on a subject that's very current. So, you know, for him, I think it's maybe 6 months. Maybe it's a little more than that, but not much. Usually it's going to be a year, year and a half, or even 2 years. And some of that is that they already have their list of what's going to be coming out over the next year, so they don't have a slot left anymore for that. But also, publishers tend to be slow moving, and that's starting to change more. It's starting to be a quicker process, but it does vary. Sometimes, too, a publisher is going to want to make changes, and so that's going to be, that's going to take some time. Our publisher just took a really long time to send us our contract. You know, they said they were interested in April. They sent it to their advisory board, and the advisory board had to discuss it and decide. They made a yes decision in June. We didn't get the yes decision was April. I think we sent it to them September. April was the advisory board decision. We didn't get a contract till June, and this was the same contract my co-author had gotten every other book that she'd, you know, done. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like something that took a lot of time, but it just took them a lot of time. I don't know why. And then, then even once you sign a contract, then there's all these steps, and they just do tend to be slower than one would hope. So it can be time-consuming, and for some people it's not worth the wait. They want that book making a difference in their lives now, and I'm seeing that more and more. The people say, you know what, I don't want to wait, and it's not worth it to me. Let's just get the book out there. I want to write the best book I can to give myself the best chance, but I don't want to wait for a publisher, and that's a valid decision.
Patience is a virtue with the book writing world. I've got to tell you, just with the whole Pinky Doodlebug thing, I mean, it took us almost a year to illustrate the book.
Wow.
I mean, really, really, truly. I mean, it took a long time to write. It took a long time to illustrate. It took a long time to put together. It took a long time to come out with the colors, the thinking, the marketing behind it. It's been a process.
A colleague once said to me, writing a children's book is like writing War and Peace in 24 pages. It's harder.
It's really difficult than
writing a book for adults.
Yeah, I think everything's difficult in the book writing world, but it's fun. I mean, if you make it fun, it's fun, and it becomes just a complete piece of you. It's really a neat thing. I have some questions for you from people. Let me see here. I'm going to go through some of them here. Hang on one second. Sorry. What do you here's one. Okay. The whole ebook world is out there. what is an ebook? People, that's what someone just wrote. What's an ebook? What's that mean? Is it just taking your book and making it electronic? People want to know what an ebook is.
Yeah. So it is making your book electronic, and you know, you could have it so that it, you know, it goes to an iPhone. You could have a PDF file. Like, there are lots of different ways, you know, or those readers now, a Kindle or a Nook. So you can have it in a bunch of different formats so that you can sell it to, you know, different markets, people with different devices that are going to read it on different devices. But it's basically having the book in electronic format so that you're not paying for paper, you know, you're not paying to print it. It's just electronic. And there's some real advantages to that. One is that you can really get it out fast, and you can also make changes without having to reprint books. So that's very nice, although publishing on demand allows that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to, you know, you kind of want to be careful just with ebooks that sometimes, you know, people put an ebook out there, but they don't really know how to promote it, and there's not a physical book, and so it just sort of sits there, and they don't really know how to sell this ebook. So, you know, you just want to be savvy about figuring out how are you going to reach people, and do they want it in electronic form? Many may, or if you're going to be speaking, for instance, public speaking, it really makes sense to also have a physical book in addition. So again, you know, it comes back to maybe goals and use, how you're going to use the book, and knowing your audience. You know, if it's a certain age group or a certain, you know, more tech-savvy group, then it may make tons of sense to have an e-version, but you may still want to have the print version. For other books, you know, The print's going to be really important. I mean, you can certainly do both. The one thing is, sometimes people print an e-book thinking, you know, I'll just print the e-book and then a publisher will take interest. Well, generally, a publisher's not going to take interest until you've sold 15,000 copies of that e-book. So
yeah.
That's where you want to be careful, is not having this expectation that you don't have to do anything and they'll just get excited about it. You're really going to have to do some serious sales. It's not always the case. One of my clients in my book writing class wrote a book, and a best-selling author was really excited about the book, and she's going to contribute to it now. And so they're approaching her publisher, and it looks like a very likely thing to go through. So, you know, he did put in e-book format very briefly and sent it to the right people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and he had a relationship with this best-selling author, so a professional relationship. So, you know, sometimes you're the exception to the rule. But in general,
yeah,
just be careful of what your expectation is with an e-book and what you're going to do to promote it. Be clear.
Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting format, ebook. It's just in Kindle. You know, for example, if you're going to write a children's book, you know, I know we're talking about children's book, and you don't really specialize in children's book, but on a Kindle, those are black and white, unless you have a Kindle Fire, which is color. So a real pretty picture book is going to come up in black and white on a plain old Kindle. So there's not probably much market for that. But Kindles are really neat for probably some of the things that you specialize in, more like nonfiction, how-to books, memoirs, self-help books, you know,
yeah,
that type of thing. That's that might be kind of nice. I know we have a free ebook going on with the Motivation Marathon, which you're also a speaker at. We need to not forget to talk about the Motivation Marathon, too, because you're a big part of that. But, you know, they're kind of handy to have a free ebook or a 99-cent ebook or, you know, even a $10 ebook or something like that. They're kind of neat. But, again, it's not something people can touch and feel, so it's kind of odd. It's a different purchase. So I agree with you. Marketing is tricky. Let's talk a little bit. Hang on. I want to see another question. Oh, yeah. Okay. Social media. How big of a deal is social media with your book?
So it's huge, and it's changing the way books are bought and sold. So, you know, part of it is that influence, you know, has really changed, and people who are buying books have more power than ever to create sort of this viral type of sales. And it's given authors access to reach so many more people than ever before, you can also waste a ton of time on social media. So it really becomes being strategic, and that actually is, I mentioned that I'm co-authoring a book right now with a colleague, and that's really the focus of the book is how to use digital media, mm-hmm. as well as some other things, but real focus on digital media especially to get your book into the hands of as many potential readers as possible. And so social media is this great tool. And Twitter is great because there are a lot of early adapters on Twitter. And also, Twitter is such a great place to meet journalists. Something like 30-something percent of journalists are required by their jobs to be on Twitter. So if you're being a good colleague to journalists who are writing about issues in your field, now we're talking again nonfiction, but this could apply to fiction too. If they're writing about the subject, you're writing about, one of my clients is writing about child custody. So if you find out who's writing articles about it, you know, that can still be relevant to your book sales. But, you know, when they're writing articles, write some good thought-provoking comments on their blog posts or their articles. And then tweet to let other people know about their great article that they just wrote on the subject. And as you help other people, you know, it always comes back to you. I mean, that's one of the wonderful things about social media is the good we do comes back to us tenfold. But it does. It is really important to have that attitude of how can I serve and how can I, you know, it's not every man for himself. It's not sort of that old-fashioned marketing of how can I manipulate someone to buy something. It's so much more about how can I be of service in a way that's relevant to what I'm doing, certainly, and you will, you know, you'll have it come back to you. So, but you still have to be strategic. It doesn't mean just, you know, oh, I'll just be nice to everyone, they'll be nice to me. You want to think about who are the people who influence in my field and who influence the people that would be potential buyers for my book. Because those are the people you really want to connect with.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to the printed book for a little bit here, because we talked about social media and we talked about e-books. And if you think we need to expand on any of those, just do you think we need to say anything more about that before we go back to printed books? Do we cover?
No, let's go ahead and go back to printed books.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. Let's go back to the person sitting there thinking, I want to write a book. I definitely do not want to self-publish. I want to have an agent. I want to be the person in Barnes & Noble sitting there with my book at a book signing, and I'm on TV kind of person,
uh-huh.
kind of thing.
Great.
What does that person have to do? It sounds like there's a proposal that needs to happen. What is that proposal? What's a book proposal? What's that mean, and what is that?
Okay. So first, a book proposal, you're only going to send it when somebody says they want to see it. And that's like one of the biggest mistakes people make is they send a book proposal out and they can't understand why they've gotten 20 rejections. Well, if they sent it unsolicited, it goes into what's called a slush pile. And it may never get read, or it may get read by an intern 6 months later. You don't want to do that. In fact, one time I forgot to tell my client to put in the corner of the envelope requested materials enclosed and to put my name. And so, sure enough, I did just check in with the agent to say, did you get this person's proposal? And she said, no. And then I realized I hadn't told him to do that, and it turned out it was in the slush pile. But so that's a really important thing to do is only send your proposal once the person said they want it. So there are two ways to do that. One is to write a query letter. And so that ends up being sort of part of your proposal in a sense that it comes first. But write the query, send the query letter only once the proposal is ready to go. Because when they say yes, you want to send the proposal right away. And that could be an hour after you sent that first query by email. You also want to send it the way they want. So a few agents still want snail mail. Most agents will want email. But, you know, look them up online. See what they're requesting and what format. So that query is the first piece. And the other way to get a yes on the book proposal without writing a query is to meet agents. You know, go to a conference like the International Women's Writers Guild has a Meet the Agents conference in every April and every October. So that's a great way to get the word out.
You have to repeat that because I've never heard of that, and I bet nobody listening has either. That's a Lisa trick.
Okay. It's iwwg.org. International mm-hmm. Women's Writers Guild, and you don't have to be a woman. I've sent many men there, and they've been very happy to be in the audience, and the agents are just as happy to talk to them as to the women. But there's a meet the agents, and you will hear what the agents want. There'll be a panel of agents. They'll talk about what they're looking for, and then you can get online to pitch to specific agents based on, you know, who you clicked with and who's looking for what you wrote. And then when they say yes, send me your proposal, then you write requested materials enclosed on the envelope with your proposal, or if you're sending an email, just make sure, you'll need to put in the subject line. And if you don't hear back quickly, you may want to make sure that they actually got the email, because that is, or you might send it return receipt requested, because that is one challenge with email, is that you don't always know that people got it.
Yeah.
So now what goes into a proposal? So the beginning is that hook, right? It says to the agent, oh, my goodness, this book is hot. And what makes it hot? So one thing that might make it hot is that it's for a very specific market, and it's a good-sized market. So a client of mine was writing a book, and at first she was thinking, I'm creative, but I can't create. And, you know, that market's not a very clear market, right? But when we talked more and really explored it, it turned out that she was really, she's a psychotherapist, she's a psychiatrist, and it turned out that she was helping people get over their depression and anxiety and unhappiness using creativity. So we came up with the title, The Creativity Cure, and they actually, the publishers changed the subtitle, But the idea was, okay, this market is a huge market, right? And we gave numbers for the people who are depressed or on antidepressants, people who are anxious or unhappy. So that's a big market, and it's a very specific market. So publishers love that, and agents love that. You also want to hook them in that first paragraph or two with the idea that there's something fresh about this. And so it might be your particular story that's fresh, or your stories, or your perspective. It may be that you provide something that the other books on the market don't have. Maybe it's certain exercises, or maybe there's a new way of looking at things. And it might also be sort of the hipness of the book or something, or it might be a slightly different audience than other books on the subject have addressed. So those are all ways to make it hooky, you know, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And you also want to address that platform piece. That's going to be so important to agents and publishers, because they want to know that they're not just taking a chance that you may or may not have the marketing savvy to get the word out. They want to know that you already have a following. You already have people who are excited about what you have to offer. They're looking for more, and they're likely to buy the book. So that's where that piece about, you know, how you reach people. So if you're blogging for the Huffington Post and you get a lot of comments, that might be an entry point, I'm sorry. For establishing your platform. You don't have to say everything about your platform in that first paragraph, but you want to give them some sense, what's your biggest thing. One of my clients had been on Oprah, so we started the proposal with how Oprah chose her story and why. For a show. So, you know, you want to think about what's going to be the hook that says, you know, I'm that person who can really reach this market too, and I know I'm going to be able to reach them and market this book.
That makes
sense.
So
those are
yeah.
some things you want in that overview. Then you do go into more detail about the primary markets and secondary markets of the book, and you want to do some research there and get some numbers. Then there's a section on the promotion plan. How are you going to promote the book? And, you know, as much as you can, show that you've already got these things. I've already got this blog that reaches X number of people, or I've already got this radio show that has, you know, X number of listeners. Those kind of things should go into the promotion plan, as well as maybe some fresh ideas that aren't things you've implemented yet that you plan to. Any relationships that you have with people who can help promote the book, or any blurbs you're going to get or testimonials, that would be good to put in there, particularly from well-known people. And then you also want to have a section on your author bio and platform that gives a sense of you know, and so there's a little overlap with promotion plans. So you just want to be careful not to be too repetitive. There's a section on competitive books. So how does your book compare to other books on the market, competitive and complementary books? How's it similar to bestsellers? How's it different from those bestsellers? But compare your book to the bestsellers. Then there's a chapter outline. So there's a sense of, okay, this really is a book, not an article. There's enough information here. And you want to use bullet points, but give a sense of how, you know, what's going to happen in each chapter. What's the reader going to get from each chapter? And then you have some sample chapters, usually two sample chapters. If it's a memoir, it should be at least 50 pages so that the agent really gets a sense of your writing and the publisher as well. So that's what goes into a book proposal.
Is that, it sounds almost like a business proposal.
Yes, it really is.
Like,
I mean, you're not putting in a spreadsheet of how you're going to make money on the book. So that's the piece that's missing in terms of the business. But all the rest of it really is a business proposal. It's how you're going to market the book and who's going to buy it and all those pieces.
Huh. Yeah, I would have never even thought of that as something that you would have ever needed to do. It's interesting. I bet you half the people listening on the call would have never known. I bet people would have probably put a cover letter on a script and sent it in. What happens to you when you do that?
Usually it goes into the slush pile. And, you know, if you're lucky, an intern's going to read it and get excited about it.
If you're lucky.
You know, but probably months later, because the slush pile is usually really, really big. It's all those people who didn't know what they were doing. And it's much less likely to get the attention of an agent. So definitely write a query letter.
Yeah, I would say so. And what's a query letter look like? Is that just, hi, how are you? I have a book thought idea kind of thing? Because that's different than what you just said with the book proposal. Is a query letter more like a one-page?
The query letter is a one-page, but it really should captivate. It should sort of be the book proposal in a page, right? It should be that exciting and clear and focused. And you know, there's some good books that give you some direction, like Michael Larson's How to Write a Book Proposal gives some good direction on query letters. And you can also find some good stuff online, even, you know, if you just Google how to write a query letter for a book proposal. But you know, you want to cover all those things I covered. And you might not cover all of them. Like, you might not cover the competition in that one query letter, but you might. It really, you can't do everything in the query letter, but do go with your strongest suits.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fascinating, too, that with following the right procedures, you might land an agent and you might get your book published. And it sounds like you've got some great success stories.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, you've got some clients there who are, you know, just famous.
Yeah, it really is fulfilling to see that happen because, you know, I think so many people have really wonderful ideas and so much to share, but not everybody gets to the point of being able to share that on CBS Early Show or Oprah.
Yeah.
And so it really is about doing all those pieces right so that you really get that ultimate piece, because it is a labor of love to write a book, and it does take resources, time, and often takes some money to get some editing and really do it right. But it should really pay off hugely in terms of the satisfaction and fulfillment, but also in terms of what it does for your life and your book. And, you know, some of those people are, yes, they're like on national TV and, you know, their books are reaching, you know, tens of thousands, if not more. But, you know, I can also tell you about clients who self-publish, like Pat Hastings, and she is living her dream. She's in Hawaii. Oh, she's not in Hawaii. She's leaving for Hawaii in early January again.
Sorry? She's a buddy of ours. Pat Hastings
is
a buddy of ours. Yeah.
And Pat wrote her book and really, you know, sort of just was divinely guided and really thought, I don't know how to write and then I don't know how to market. But at 9 months after her book came out, she quit her day job as a substance abuse counselor. And now she's a spiritual coach and she leads retreats and workshops, and her love is traveling. So she, you know, she teaches, she's going on Mayan cruise and teaching a workshop there, and she teaches in Bermuda and Hawaii and gets these trips that are all expenses paid, plus she's getting paid for the workshop she's leading or the retreat. And so, you know, it really is the life she's wanted to live, making this big impact, doing what she loves, and traveling all over. And so, you know, it's that, that really for me is, you know, living the dream. Sorry?
Yeah, she's one of our top bloggers at Best Ever You. So I giggle that you mentioned her. Yeah, it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're working on bringing her page up on besteveryou.com. But she's one of our top bloggers in Best Ever You and a guest and also a speaker. I think she's speaking at the Motivation Marathon this time. I don't know if she was available or not. I know she did the last one with us. The very first Motivation Marathon, Pat was a speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, she's so inspiring.
Yeah, I love her writing for sure. So, yeah, it's funny.
But I think that's
her.
A good example
cool.
of somebody who she's, you know, she's starting to get more radio and starting to be on TV a bit, but you know, it's not like she's on Oprah yet, right? But she's still living the dream and the life that she wants. And so, you know, sometimes also we want to think about, you know, it's not just going from, you know, the book comes out and you're on Oprah, which of course doesn't exist anymore anyway, but
yeah.
You know,
I don't understand why that's everybody's goal anyway, but whatever. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's like everybody always says, I want to be on Oprah, and I'm like, okay. It's funny, but yeah, people have all their different goals. But yeah, you know, I'm going to redirect this a little bit because we only have 4 minutes left. Can you believe the full hour went by already? We have 4 minutes left.
Wow.
With 4 minutes to go, what's something? And I always ask this of people at the end of the show: what's something that I haven't talked about with you that you want to wind up with? What should
well,
we talk about?
I guess it's this, and it's really, it's kind of a more abstract thing, I guess. But when you decide to write a book, it really changes you forever. You know, it's such an expansive thing, and there's a self-growth process, I think, that comes with it. So when we make that decision, you know, those old tapes are going to come up. The past is going to come up in some way and say, okay, are you really willing to change this belief system? Are you really willing to make new choices in some way or other? And mm-hmm. I've seen it, you know, time and again with my own book and with colleagues. You know, write a book on anger, and I guarantee you anger is going to come up with you and your co-authors, you know, and you're going to need to handle it in a way that everybody benefits, everybody's happy. And so it really does force you to grow, and it forces you to grow both with your topic and just with your self-confidence and how you are in the world. And so it's a really exciting path because it is so much about really stepping into your light, into your power, and being all that you were meant to be. So if you have that feeling that you want to do it, don't worry that you might not have all the pieces yet. Really trust that knowing and ask yourself, you know, am I willing to change? Am I willing to transform? And you know, am I willing to take the steps necessary? Because you talked about rejection before. You'll get rejections, but it's what you do with those rejections. Everybody gets rejections. It's really what you tell yourself afterwards and then what actions you take.
Yeah. Okay, so let's redirect people back to your website, to lisatenner.com, and then let's talk about a little freebie that you have for everybody listening.
Sure. So I have my free author toolkit, and when you subscribe to that, you will, well, first of all, you'll have an opt-in. So you have, just make sure, you might need to check your spam folder because sometimes they end up going in there, but mm-hmm. you can just, you know, hit that confirmation opt-in, and you may need to tell your email support that, you know, you put it in your address book or something.
Sure.
But anyway, so just that little caveat, but you will get 7 days of this e-course that's going to take you through those first steps of how you get yourself set up for success, both in making the time and being successful with having progress, awesome. As well as what are the questions I need to answer when I first start writing my book.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are out of time, so I just want to We're definitely out of time. There's a 60-second cue, but thank you so much for being with us today. I hope everybody really enjoyed this show. And Lisa is going to be speaking at the Motivation Marathon, which you can register. It's free. It's motivationmarathon.com. And Lisa is also a book writing coach on the Best Ever You Network, which her page is on besteveryou.com under the coaches section. So you can contact her that way as well, or visit her website, lisatenner.com. And we just thank you. I hope you'll come on again and talk more about this fascinating industry with us, because it's definitely something everybody loves to think about, I think. And I think I always say everybody, because it just seems like everybody wants to write a book. Everybody I encounter, anybody wants to write a book. So Lisa Tenner, everybody, book writing coach. And thank you, Lisa. Happy holidays.
Thank you, you too. And I'm looking forward to the Motivation Marathon.
It's going to be fun. January 14th through the 22nd, everybody, motivationmarathon.com. All right, have a great day. Thank you.